Ignition number 11941, rule 2.
Mr. T. Nimmons, Reel 2. When did you leave for France, Mr. Nimmons?
It was towards the end of January.
Were there any preparations for this?
Not really, apart from packing everything up and loading onto transport.
There were no particular duties that you were involved into?
No.
No. What was the weather like?
Cold, frost and snow.
Did you have any difficulties getting away?
No, we just went to Southampton.
Were the locals aware of the fact that the battalion was leaving?
I think they were. There was an article in one of the local papers at home and described the feelings of the villagers on the departure of the troops.
Yeah. Did you leave by train?
No. Transport, lorries, you know.
Was that true of the rest of the battalion?
Yes. Well.
You went to Southampton, but what happened then?
Well, we embarked. I couldn't tell you what the ship was at all. And eventually we arrived in Cherbourg.
Do you recall the journey at all?
Not really, no. And in, I recall the meal we had in Cherbourg was a tin of cold M&V. It was the fat still congealed on the top, and you had to use your bayonet to open the lid up.
What were your first impressions of France?
Well, we were more or less stuck in the sidings there. You couldn't see very much. We were on duty. But some of the chaps went into Cherbourg. I mean, they'd gone in and thought they might get a look at a film or something. And of course, there's one chap I know. I meet him at the association meeting, and he related this tale to me that they'd gone to see this film. Well, they thought it was a film, and they had to stand in the queue. And one of them said, "What time does do they start going in for this film?" And of course, somebody said, "Look, lad, it's not a film. It's a brothel."
Did they go in?
No, they were too young.
How long were you in Cherbourg?
We moved out just about a day, and at night time we moved out.
What transport did you use to move out?
We were on cattle trucks, yes.
And where did you finish?
No, we were round, our battalion headquarters was Bougainville. That wasn't possibly about 10 miles from Amiens. That was a real country place. It was the streets were terrible. The people's own living conditions were bad.
How did they receive you?
Didn't, not really. No, never got on with them at all. No.
You didn't find them friendly?
Not in the least. No.
Where were you billeted?
It was an old farmhouse, I think it had been emptied, and it was nothing very much at all. You just had your palliasse, and that was it.
You're sleeping on palliasse?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what was the food situation then? Was it good?
It was adequate. You couldn't say anything other than there was nothing, no niceties at all. You know.
Was the whole battalion around you?
In Bougainville it was headquarter company. Now the others were scattered around. I couldn't say now offhand what the names of the places were.
Does the role, your own role in an office, in the orderly room, does it change when an active service situation comes and you're actually moving through a foreign country? Are there any changes?
Not really. You've got to learn to pack your office up in the boxes and got it out when you came up. Unless there was something you were allowed for a contingency plan on the way. If the adjutant wanted some typing out, well, he knew where the typewriter was.
Were you still typing the same kind of material?
Oh, yes. So any road mark, moving from one place to another, all training stuff was typed by the orderly.
You say moving from one place to the other, which is like a moving control, isn't it?
No, that's right.
Is that information fed to you from one of the officers?
Yes. It's actually comes from the colonel to the adjutant. And then he writes his movement instructions out, which go out then to company commanders.
And your job is to produce
type them,
those?
Yes.
And send them out?
That's right, yes.
Were you there, were you in this place long?
No. We had several moves. Petty Atish was one. And of course at that time the battalion was engaged in trench warfare, digging trenches and anti-tank ditches.
Did you get the feeling at all that the army was still living in the days of the First World War?
Yes, oh, we were. I mean, the type of defences they were making was First World War. I mean, we didn't see much of a tank at that point. You know,
Where were they digging the anti-tank ditch?
They were outside the villages where they were.
Is this up near the Belgian frontier?
Well, no, it was still around the Amiens area. Eventually we did go up that way to from Petit Atiche. We went up to Hellems, just on the Belgian border.
Do you recall the dates of your moves?
I couldn't recall those, no. Well, Hellems was just outside Lille.
And what was the battalion doing here?
Well, again, I think they were more on a lookout basis because we were expecting trouble then, I think.
Did you receive any particular visitors from high up, higher authority?
No, not then, no.
As you moved through France, nearing the Belgian frontier, was the attitude of the French changing towards you at all?
They just are inclined to ignore you. You never got down to anybody. The only time was after Jerry broke through, and there was myself, well, Colonel Simpson, myself as Clark, Sergeant Williams, and Sergeant Major Armstrong. We were sent to Corps Headquarters, to Corps Headquarters.
We'll come to that later, Mr. Nimitz. If we can come back to the frontier situation, do you recall when news came through that the Germans had opened the war, in effect?
No, that when we were on at Hallam's, there was no indication of that then. And it wasn't until I moved away from the battalion that we did get any communication that it was in a bad way.
Had you left the battalion before it moved into Belgium?
Oh, yes. I left them just at Hellems.
Why did Colonel Simpson, why was he moved? Do you recall?
I don't know. I think it was a question of refugee control and trying to keep the roads open.
And this was a task that was given to him and
that's
a
right.
Small body of people.
Yes.
So who took over the battalion then?
No. Well,
if he left the battalion,
that's right.
Someone must have took it over.
I just can't recall now. Because I had no contact with the battalion until I got back in after England.
So if Colonel Williams had commanded the battalion right through England and up to the Belgian frontier.
I was Colonel Simpson, yes.
Colonel Simpson. And then he was, in effect, taken away to be given other duties.
No, that's right.
With
yes.
A small group of people with him. What were you doing with him?
Well, I was again still Clark, you see. But the others were out, well, they had REs, there was some working with the French, the Free French, and they were just moving the refugees along as best they could, trying to keep the roads clear for transport.
So Colonel Williams was in effect in command of a mixed boat.
Simpson, yeah.
Colonel Simpson, sorry, wrong one again. Colonel Simpson was in command
of a mixed body of, yes,
of men from various units.
No, that's true.
How many would there be?
I have no idea. I never really came into contact with anybody but other than his button.
So what kind of things were you doing?
Just typing instructions out from him to the rest of his party. Yes.
And this was all refugee control?
Yes. And now, that time we were in Bethune. That time.
Any idea what time that was?
No, that would be May. Just before Jerry broke through, I think. And then, of course, I found out, he just came in and said, look, you better pack your gear and move out and take my batman with you.
He broke his unit up then?
Yes, he did. And he kept a few there with himself. But we were sent off up the road, up the dikes up Dunkirk.
So this would be towards the end of May?
That's right, yes.
And you left him there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you weren't back with the battalion either?
No. There was two of us on our own at that point.
Just him and his driver?
Yes, me and his driver, yes.
You and your driver, yes. How did you get off? How did you find Dunkirk when you arrived there?
It was very badly knocked about then. And, of course, it was terrific, the number of refugees that were on the road up beside the canal. And, of course, the Jerry planes were coming up and they were strafing them. You know.
Were you strafed?
Oh, yes, we were down in the bottom. We used to get down on the side of the canal.
Did this happen often, this strafing?
Oh, yes. All the way to Dunkirk. It was on.
Do you recall any particular incidents?
Well, it was just a general picture that people were, their belongings was strapped, and
they would presumably be killed and wounded.
There was a lot of killed and wounded, yes.
Mm. Did you get involved in this?
No, we moved on.
What were you in? What were you driving in?
We were marching. It was just the two of us walking up there, you see.
So he sent you off marching?
Oh, yes.
While he
took
the rest of them off to where?
Sort everything something else out. Yeah.
Why had that come about, that he could cut the party in that way?
I've no idea. He must have thought that it was severely, it was going to a bad point where there was no hope.
You never found out what happened to him, what he was doing after
no,
that?
No, I never saw him anymore. I think he was retired, I'm not sure.
When you got to Dunkirk, had you do reports to someone?
No. He just walked down till he found the beach. And you just looked around for a place where there wasn't too many buds around. And, of course, the beach was being continually lambasted with aircraft.
And how did you get off?
We got off. There was part of a jetty left. And we got over, they jumped a couple of holes in the jetty, and there was a small boat. And we got onto that and came back to Dover.
Were you carrying any kit with you?
Oh, yes, I had my haversack and rifle, a gas mask, yeah.
What date did you leave France?
It was in early June, I think, yes.
And where did you land?
Landed at Dover.
Had you any problems on the journey?
None. No. And we had a wonderful reception in Dover.
Who was with you on the boat?
Oh, I didn't know any, really. It was only the two of us that I knew.
Were there other troops?
Oh, yes. It was, well, they were just scrambling on as best they could.
The reception at Dover, what was it like?
Oh, it was marvellous. Yes, the people were out giving you sandwiches and cigarettes, chocolate.
Did you get any notion of any feelings of depression because this was a defeat?
Yes, but there was no depression at all. They were very, very happy, really.
When you got off the boat, how and who did you report to?
We went to... We were transported by train to Carrick Chase.
And did you give any details of someone
not
the
then,
key?
No.
You just walked off and to the station?
Yes.
And then what happened after that?
Well, we stopped on the way. Knutsford we stopped at. And arrived at Carrick Chase, which is just off Rugeley and Staffordshire there. And there was a tented camp set up. And then there was your battalion representatives were there, so you just accumulated then and went to build a tented camp.
Did you get any leave immediately?
No, not immediately. There was checks on for your rifles. There was quite a lot of rifles stolen at that time. Because fellas had thrown them away, you see, in Germany, in France. And, of course, they got back and realised they shouldn't have thrown them away. And, of course, they were stealing them and claiming them as their own.
Was anyone punished for this? Disciplined for this?
I didn't know of any, really.
When you got to the camp, was the battalion already there?
The battalion was just starting to come together. The Durham Light Infantry all come together at Canuck, I think.
Did anything happen to you? Was there any changes for you?
No, not at all. We did get leave from that point. And eventually, when we returned from leave, we were sent to Coastal Defence. The battalion headquarters was down in Lyme Regis.
When you went on leave, had your parents any notion that you were coming?
No.
And had they not heard that you were back from France?
I didn't know anything at all.
How were you received?
Oh, open arms. Yes.
And the people around about?
The people around about were out as I was going home, you see. Yes.
And flags and bunting.
Oh, of course. Huh? Yes. Yes.
How long was your leave?
Week. Yes.
Had you any experiences coming back from leave of men who were young enough to be in the forces but hadn't yet got in your own immediate area?
Not really. I wasn't, you know, I didn't really bother with people much 7 years.
So we went down to Lyme Regis. About what time would this be?
In July. Yes. July 40.
And how were you received in that area?
Quietly. If you went into a pub, you know, you could sort of pass the time of day. But there was no invitations out to people's houses. There were different type of people than what there were up here.
Where were you billeted?
It had been a little hotel just off the coast. And I can't remember the name of it. But the orderly room was in that point.
And the duties you were doing were just basically
just the same
before.
Again, yes. Yeah.
Had you received any promotions at this time?
I was made an acting unpaid lance corporal. Yes.
Who's commanding the battalion now?
I think it was just Percy.
What was he like?
Very, very strict. And very dour type of regular soldier. Yeah.
And were there any other changes in the complement of the battalion office?
Well, the adjutant... Captain Battiscombe had been adjutant previously at one time, and he moved over to command the 8th Battalion, he was. And of course, the next one was Captain Scott Beatty. He became adjutant. I think he had been a signals officer.
What state was the battalion in when you joined it? It had come through a pretty rough time in France, and quite a number of people were...
Yes, the Fort de Rigaud action.
What state was it in when you got to them?
It was in pretty bad shape. Yes, they had to take a lot of reinforcements.
Where were they coming from?
Oh, it was King Shropshire Light Infantry, mostly. And,
Was the morale low?
It had been when they were coming out of France, but I think when they got to England, they picked up quite a lot.
Yeah. What was the condition of the troops with regard to equipment and weapons and uniform? Of course, obviously, they lost a great deal in France.
Oh, yes. Well, there was no shortage. We were really equipped with 303s. You know. And I think they'd get Brens and mortars. And that was about all they would have. You went to France.
What were you doing now? You were in the battalion office, and the route team was very much the same.
Yeah.
Were you aware of the fact that there were problems with new people, training, uniforms, and so forth?
Oh yes, because you had to make your battalion rolls up with these new people coming in. You see.
And was any problems with them?
No, they settled down eventually. You know, it was the biggest problem as always was the change of cab badge. Yeah.
And there was some problems over that. What did they take?
Well, just a general grumble, you know. Why do I have to put a DLI badge on?
The battalion, you say, was on coastal defence. What exactly did that entail?
Well, it was... Just more or less, the company was in Tenerife. They were spread out along the coast, but headquarter company was in communication with the other companies through the signal platoon, and it was just a question of keeping eyesight under the sea. See, there's nothing coming over.
Were you aware that the Battle of Britain was about to burst on you?
Not really. Not down there.
There was no problem with
raids. No, it was quiet down that area, around Bridport. And
what did you do for leisure down there?
Very little. Nuffy was across the road. You could go and tea and wood. You could walk along the coast if you're off duty. That was all.
Was the lack of lady companionship any problem at all?
Not really, I don't think. There was one or two always had rooted around, you know.
Did you stay on the coast?
No, we moved from Lyme Regis to Sherburne.
Where were you billeted in Sherburne?
It was a fairly decent-sized house.
Did you have your own beds, or were they palliasses?
Oh, we're still palliasses, yes.
These, I assume, have been commandeered by the army?
Oh, yes. Oh, we were just above the... We looked down towards the cathedral from where we were. It was very nice in Sherburne. It was a nice, quiet place.
And again, the people around about you were all right?
Oh, yes, they were quite well. No, I did a course from Sherburne up to...
What was that course?
Salisbury Plain. It was a clerical course. And, of course, when I got there, there was... I was about the only clerk, trained clerk, that was on it. They were making, you know, bricklayers were being made into clerks at that time. And it was all right. But a week it was.
What were they teaching you?
Like typing.
Which you could already
do. Yes. There was nothing to it, really. I mean, it was just... adding up strength states and things like that.
Which were things you'd...
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
About what time was this then?
That would probably be the August. Maybe August come September. Now it was... While we were in Sherburne, we were inspected by the Duke of Oh, the Prussian type, with a tash.
Gloucester.
Now, that was a sure indication that we were due to go abroad somewhere again. But after, it didn't come about just that point. We then moved over to Tiverton in Devon. And we were stationed there in the grounds of a big house. And well, the people in Tiverton were much more friendly. And of course, we were allowed to go to the Conservative Club and places like that. Then there was snooker and things like that. Play.
What kind of activities were the officers getting up to? You were obviously, as you say, naffy, or probably the local pubs. Well, the officers being received a little bit better than yourselves by the local people?
Well, you found that the officers were in the same pubs that you went to. You know, no change. I mean, there were certain ones picked up with somebody, you know.
Had the role of the battalion changed in the various places you were going to? From the coastal defence situation?
Oh, it had changed then. We were more under definitely more training on the real hard stuff. Yeah.
And was this still motorised training, moving?
Oh yes, moving troop movements, yes.
Had the materials and weapons situation improved?
That had got there, so fully made up then by the time I got from Tiverton.
Did you feel that the battalion was more battle trained?
It was, yes, it was becoming a fighting unit then, yes.
And had any notion just as to how much the training had changed from the old ways to more modern?
Not really, no. No, I wasn't concerned much with the training.
When did you leave Tiverton?
May 41.
And that would be to go abroad?
That was went abroad.
Was there any idea in the countryside at large that you were moving?
No, I think people, I don't know whether they suspected, but we'd had khaki drill issue at that point. So, I mean, the men would know that we're going out to the Middle East or somewhere hot.
And how did you leave Tiverton?
We moved by train.
Was there a send-off at the station?
Oh, no. Maybe one or two girlfriends, but that would be all.
And where did you go to?
I went up to Gourock. And we sailed on the SS Orduna.
Do you recall the date that you sailed?
Well, that would be the end of May, beginning of June. But it was a bit of a funny voyage, Orduna, because we hadn't been long out of Gourock, and we got were dive bombed. And the next thing was, we had a fire in number 3 hold, which was still burning. It was never put out.
By a bomb?
No, it was just a fire that didn't know how it had started.
So you dive bombed just?
Dive bombed first, and then.
Was this one plane or?
One plane, yes. And the next thing was, we were rammed during the night. So it was and we eventually ended into Durban. It was about 6 weeks on board.
Do you have any recollections of the voyage? What were you doing on the voyage?
I was into the ship's orderly room. There was a corporal needed, so I was pushed in as last
call.
You were a corporal? I was a corporal at that point, yes. I was made up in Tiverton.
And what were your duties on board the ship then?
Similar things, sick reports, and of course the battalion, the discipline was by the battalion commander still. And the old officer commanding troops on board ship, he died. So we had a burial at sea. Yeah.
When you got to Durban, what was the welcome like
there?
We
were very, very well received. There were cars continually coming down to the docks as you went out. They were there to pick you up and take you away.
And you got picked up in this way?
Oh, yes, yes.
Do you recall what it was?
I don't really know. I couldn't tell you the names now. But they were all very, very well received. Yes.
And where did it take you?
Oh, they took you to the home. Yes.
How long were you there in Durban?
About, I'd say a fortnight, 3 weeks possibly. Because we did a parade in Durban. Of course, the funny part about it was we were going to get out in KD. And of course, they'd been stored away that long. When we got them out, they were all creased to death. So we ended up in battle dress trousers and KD shirt. And little Glengarry. And the Durban Light Infantry was a daughter regiment of the Durham Light Infantry. And that was how we came to do the parade through Durban and out to the cricket ground. And there was the place was full.
Do you recall the date that you left Durban?
Possibly the beginning of August. And we went from there to Sewers.